Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I am a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to add massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and from agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. Y'all, we got a local agent on the podcast. I'm so excited to welcome our guest today, top Baton Rouge realtor. I've got Remy Curry on the pod, y'all. Welcome, Remy. How are you?
Hey, Jamie. I'm doing good. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. I'm so excited because we are cut from the same cloth. We were talking before the pod, and we've got some very similar things that we're working on. So start off by telling us how you got into the real estate business and where you are today, and tell us a little bit of that production, and we'll get into some really good stuff today.
Okay. Actually, I got into real estate from a friend of mine. She was like, you'd be so good at real estate. You meet people and they love you and this kind of thing. And I'm going, I don't even know what a mortgage is. I have no right. idea what any of it, like how to do that. And she's like, well, just come on and work as my assistant for a minute. And so I actually started as her assistant. It didn't even last that long. So she was like, you just need to be a realtor and get your license. So,
right.
So I did. So that was in 2016 and I got my license and just kind of hit the ground running. And it's been great. I mean, this year, it's actually been probably my very best year, and I should be by the end of the year netting over, I think, 500 GCI.
So, nice. Let's go. Yeah. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit more about your upbringing. You and I were chatting a little bit about kind of the impact that your grandmother had on your life and everything else. So bring us there back to the beginning and kind of share that story with us.
Yeah. So I was raised in Clinton, Louisiana, which is a really small country town. And I was raised by my great grandmother. She raised four generations, so including her own siblings, because she was older than them, and then her children, their children, and then last, my sister and me. And we did not have money, period. I mean, we lived off of her retirement, which was she was a school teacher. And so you can imagine back then, like, yeah. So we often did not have electricity. We would study by kerosene lanterns. Can't even like think, how did we do that? I didn't have air conditioning or heating. We grew up with attic fans and gas space heaters that do not pass inspection anymore. But yeah, so it was an old home built in 1905, and that's where we grew up. And when she passed away, it was my senior year of high school. And I was, after that, kind of homeless. I mean, my sister and I just got shuffled around, and I went straight to LSU and was in the dorm. And I mean, I didn't have family supporting me. I was on scholarship and had to work jobs and hustle. And I often slept in my car after freshman year. And so being homeless was not fun. And it was a challenge. So the thing is that home that I grew up in, I mean, I have very fond memories of growing up the way that I did. And even my childhood friends remember, we didn't have a lot in that house, and it was run down as all get out. But we all have really great memories from that. And one of my family members, a cousin, bought the house, restored it, and we've still been able to go back and have Thanksgivings there, or Christmases, or when one of our family members passes, or even there's a celebration. And it has really taught me like what home can be for people. I mean, it's, you know, that safe space, that one that you always want to come back to. It's that grounding place.
Yeah, I love that story. And I love to hear, it sounded like you were talking about 1800s, right? But we're talking about like probably not quite that, right? How awesome, and I love this thought too, is like how awesome was the generations like above us? Like just amazing, like just extremely hard workers, would do anything for anyone, bring anyone into their home, obviously raising a great grandchild, right? I mean, how awesome was that to grow up with? And now we get the opportunity to kind of pass that along to our kids and give them that same experience of home. But it sounds like you're also not only had that same great home experience, but you're trying to recultivate and reimagine that for your clients. So I just love that whole mindset of it. And I think that's just a super great story. And I'm so excited that you're able to share it on the pod, because talk to us a little bit of like, how are you then using that experience that you grew up with? How are you then now giving that same experience of home to your clients?
Yeah. So I really get invested in my clients. And I mean, some of them come to me as complete strangers, like a first time home buyer, for example. I get a lot of those and they don't know what they're doing, what they're really looking for. And they're scared to ask questions because I think so many people believe they have to know how to do this already.
Right.
And I have literally told them, this is not the house for you. I know it. I know it in my heart. And just give me a chance. I want to find the house for you. And, you know, some, whether they got advice from this person, they need to just start investing and start planting roots, or they don't know that to look for, you know, foundation issues or something else. And I kind of feel like I'm their guardian. I want you to be in this home. And in a year, 5 years, however long you're here, I want you to be able to say, thank you for helping us find our safe space. This home that we have family pictures on, that we want to come back to, that we're proud of. And so, I mean, I really do stick my foot in sometimes, like maybe where it doesn't belong, but I haven't gone wrong yet. So
I love the heart behind it, because you were saying too, like that you really kind of become really close friends and almost family with some of these clients. So tell us more about like how you're extending that good feeling, like maybe past the sale as well too. How are you keeping in touch with these people? What does that look like?
Yeah. So I genuinely want to know these people. And so it's not just how much can you afford? What's our timeline? Let's get a contract. Let's get you a house. You know, it's who's your family? Let me meet them. Let's get them all here. Or, you know, tell me your story. What's your motivation for buying? Like, I want to know everything about them. And usually, and this is what I've been teaching a few newer agents, you find a way to connect with these people. And I think that's what some agents don't really focus on, is how do we connect? You know, whether it's, oh, we went to the same school, or, oh, I was raised by my great grandmother too, or whatever it is, there's some connection you have that's creating the relationship. And we know this, everybody that's in sales knows it's believe, like, and trust, right? But that trusting part is so hard unless you can really connect with them. And so once they connect, I mean, I'm connecting too. I'm invested. I'm loving them already. So that's never been a hard part for me. I don't know if you know, but my background is also in social work. I have my master's in social work. So active listening skills, that's a huge thing. I wish more people in our whole world had that. And so I listen and try to understand really where they're coming from. And we go through the process. And again, I mean, I'm watching. I don't fight with people. I hate confrontation. But when it comes to protecting my clients, like, I will do anything to protect them. And so I think they feel that. And then you asked, how do I stay in touch with them? I think that's the biggest part of my business is my follow-up. And, you know, I'm mailing home anniversary cards. I'm doing handwritten birthday notes. I've been doing them for years. And that is probably my biggest and best thing that I do. And it's so simple. And I literally send handwritten notes, and I'll do gratitude notes, thank you notes. And I send those out. I mean, I plan for it usually every month, or if something comes up, I send them other things as well, like along the way. I mean, I stay in touch with them. And so I'm finding out, you know, did they have a baby? And I go sit down and meet their baby or whatever. You know, I also have a lot of parties, and I recently decided I'm not trying to be the flashiest or anything. So I just had a client appreciation party, and I decided to do it at my house. I don't have the biggest, most gorgeous house, but I have a home, and that's all I want people to know. This is my home where a lot of love goes into it. And so I had everybody come over. Best part about it is if nobody came, I'm still at home. So it worked, you know, but yeah. It actually was really great. I had so many people drive up and they go, we're just staying for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. They were here until midnight. So it was really fun.
That is so awesome. I love that. I love the grassroots style of real estate, just caring about people, finding out what they cherish in their life, and then speaking to them about it, right? You know, That's the thing that I think a lot of realtors miss, is they look at this as if it's a lead, and or they look at it as if it's a sale. And yes, it is a sale, but it's somebody's home. It's very personal, and you really have to dive in and figure out what they cherish. One of the best things that I heard, and I keep mentioning it over and over and over on the podcast, be excitedly curious about what's going on with someone's life don't just be curious, mm-hmm. be excitedly curious about what's going on. Why are they transacting? Why are they selling? What do they want? Where do they want to be? What's important to them? Be a great question asker and then mm-hmm. take a genuine interest in them. And you can't go wrong when you take that genuine interest.
That's right.
That's the best way. So like for realtors who are struggling right now, maybe go back and evaluate the type of questions that you ask them, your processes around really finding out what's super important to these buyers and these sellers, where are they going, what are they doing, all of those things, and just reevaluate that, because I think that's one of the most important things. And I don't think that it gets talked about enough mm-hmm. right now in our real estate business. But I love that you're having all this success, and a lot of it is coming from just loving and taking care of people. And I think mm-hmm. that's just absolutely so awesome. So tell us a little bit more about, you had said that you do some investor type stuff as well. So talk to us a little bit about that investor angle and what are you doing for investors there in Baton Rouge?
Yeah. So I became an agent for Bigger Pockets. And I know a lot of agents here aren't even familiar with them, but there's only one in the area. So I don't know if in Lafayette or in Cajun country, if y'all have someone there. There's someone in New Orleans, and I'm the one for the greater Baton Rouge area. I started learning about Bigger Pockets from a past investor of mine. And this was years ago. So they've been around for a very long time. And I had learned through some of the other realtors that invest, like, you should be investing, Remy. You should be investing like yesterday. And I'm like, okay, you know, how do I do that? I mean, I don't know what you mean. Like, what kind of property should I do, these fix and flip things, or what are you talking, you know, should I have rentals? I don't understand. So in order to help, because then I started getting more clients that also wanted to invest, and I'm thinking, great, what do you want to invest in? I don't know. I mean, can you help? So I had to kind of practice what I preach, learn more about it. And I invested in me by learning of all the different ways that you can invest. And I'm learning stuff every day too, still. But Bigger Pockets is such a great platform. You've got people that you can connect with, other investors. You've got people who, you know, they have a podcast. They have calculators that you can use. It's a plethora of things. So I really dug in, and I have dabbled in different types of investments, from Airbnbs to long-term rentals to flips. And I help other people do the same thing. So teaching them how to buy a property that meets their criteria or their avatar or their buy box, right? I get a lot of people that are confused at like where to begin, just like I was. And I find that's more common. And I'm like, well, let's talk about that. Like, do you have a plan? What is this plan for? Are we just getting properties just to get them? Or do we have, you know, are we trying to replace financial income or whatever it is? And so are we wanting to get some mud on the boots and do a fix and flip? Or are we looking for some long-term rentals, just kind of easy? Or are you wanting to play the Airbnb game? Like, so I've gotten very well-versed in all of these things. And I do get people that connect with me through Bigger Pockets, and they specify exactly what they're looking for. And a lot of them are brand new, and a lot of them are from out of state. And so I've got clients from California. I've got clients from Oregon, you name it, Oklahoma, New York. And, you know, they find that properties here in Louisiana are affordable and they want to invest. So that's what I do.
And actually, what's funny is that's the same exact story for me, as I got into real estate 21 years ago, just with the interest of trying to buy rental properties. That's why I got into the business. So I was been able to do tons of fix and flips and rental properties and all that stuff. And I told you, I'm actually the top multifamily selling agent in my community mm-hmm. by a landslide. So it's something that I'm very passionate about. And I think that when you're representing people and they can see that you're also not only knowledgeable, but you're also in the game of owning investment properties, it just makes it so much smoother, right? It's so like mm-hmm. whenever realtors are like in an apartment or something, I'm like, man, like, how are you selling somebody in a house when you're not in a home? Like, you know, like, right. got to get in the game, right? So I do feel like a lot of these realtors who are listening to this and they're in the investment game, hey, being in multifamily, being in investments, it's a great place to be because there's a ton of opportunity in business mm-hmm. right now for agents who are looking for that. And really, a lot of agents are asking me, like, how's your 2025, Jamie? How are you doing? I'm like, I'm crushing it. But mm-hmm. a lot of it comes from multifamily because those people are buying. I don't care. They're buying in December. Matter of fact, they're trying to buy in December. So like I've got a ton pending just to try to close out in December before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So realtors who are looking for another angle for their business, investments may be a totally great option for them to explore and like get knowledgeable about it and then give it a go. But what portion of your business would you say that the investments or the investor properties make up?
It's not a large portion of my business, but I would say it's probably 30%.
30%?
Maybe more, but you know.
Hey, that's a good percentage. I mean, you know, it's, and I'm the same way. It's kind of like, you know, if I look back, I might be like that, might be 30, 40% of my total business. But still, I mean, that's a nice size piece of revenue that you can't forget. And look, you're enjoying what you're doing and you're meeting all these great people and you're having this income. And look, that 30% made this 2025 an amazing year. So like I'd imagine that too for your story is like that, just that extra little 30% bump in business, which you could have still had you still do have all your nice residential stuff, but now having some investor stuff is kind of cool. That may be an arm for realtors to really look deeper into is multifamily and seeing how they can help investors make a couple purchases. Cause look, I've had realtors and I've had these clients too that, you know, they buy a flip property. Well, you help them sell the property. You help them buy it and then you help them sell it. So then you get both sides of the sale. So you get two sales out of the deal, plus maybe more than that if you've got an active investor, because then they're like wanting to do the next one. I mean, I've got realtors that I know that do 10 deals a year from one client. You know, they buy it, they sell it, buy it, sell it, buy it, sell it. You know, so it's like, you know, why not look at that as like a potential option? So what would you tell a realtor too who may be looking at that? Looking at investments as maybe an arm of something that they may be interested in their business, what would you tell that realtor?
Well, I think first I would tell them, I think they need to educate themselves on all the different types of investments. And then secondly, I'd say I really think they need to dive in and get their own investment. I think that's huge. And I don't care what it is, but I think they do need to walk the walk as well and go through the process. So whether it's a flip, it's you know, getting a long-term rental, whatever it is, because there's so much that you can help your client with who's the investor, that even though they may know how to buy properties, they don't know how to structure their investments as far as like protecting themselves. And I'm not a CPA, I'm not a lawyer, but I have learned so much. Like you probably are aware, but Louisiana LLC. So I have a Louisiana LLC and I've had a few. I had no idea until this year how many ways there are to break into or puncture, you know, a Louisiana LLC versus like a Wyoming LLC. The only way to break through that Wyoming LLC is fraud. That's it, number one. But you have 7 ways to get past their LLC and go to your personal assets or get to your other income or your wealth, you know? So that's something that realtors need to know in order to educate their clients. Because I'll guarantee you, majority of the investors that come your way have no idea how to protect their assets. And if you're helping them buy those assets, there definitely needs to be a way to protect them. And then you're adding value. That's when other investors come your way too, because they're, hey, look, my girl, she knows a lot. Like, you need to call her, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that idea. And I like putting out some of that kind of stuff on social media. You know, I know you do a ton with social media. And that like attracts other investors as well, like when I talk about all the different things that I have going on. But I agree with you. It's like Louisiana is set up so, it's almost too lawsuit friendly with everything.
Yes.
It's
yes.
like, God, it's like everything is so friendly. So I even tell these investors that are buying these properties, as I said, look, liability insurance is not that expensive. And if something went wrong, let's just say the LLC gets punctured or whatever, make them go after the insurance policy, because you have the coverage that you need in the event something catastrophic happens. So like, you know, you see a lot of these people, especially now with hurricanes and all these other things and insurance prices like going through the roof. And then they like take this risk, right? They're like, oh, I'll just drop off all this stuff because I don't have any debt on it. But I'm like, dude, don't drop liability. Don't like keep at least some liability on there because it's so inexpensive. And then even an LLC, like I would not be comfortable, even with all of my LLCs and different things that I have with all my personal property, I would not be comfortable going to court and fighting it on that. Like, what's the chances that you wouldn't have pierced it? you know, at some point right. in the trans, in, right. in the ownership of your property over 20 years or whatever. So, mm-hmm. but let's shift gears a little bit. Let's go towards what are you doing for like lead generation and that sort of thing? Like how are you doing a great job with obviously keeping in touch with people and growing your business that way and cultivating the long-term relationships mm-hmm. and reach outs. But what are you doing right now to like generate leads? Is there anything that's working for you?
I always ask where people find me, and usually it's referrals, you know, sphere of influence. The other way is I have a lot of great reviews on Google and Zillow, and people and other agents have found me that way. So I would always tell another agent, like, work on those reviews. Like, they are money. And I mean, out of like, I think the last time I looked, it's 111 reviews on Google, and they're all 5-star, you know, and everybody's written. It's not just a star. So that right there, when you read those reviews, I mean, I would want to work with me. Think about it. When we all go online and we're trying to buy something, what do? You go look at the reviews because we want to know that this is something good to buy or this is, you know, somebody we want to work with. So that's been huge for my business. I do have online leads. When I was a brand new agent, I got sucked into buying Zillow leads, and that was, did not expect that I was in this contract. I was not making any money. I was brand freaking new to real estate. And here I am with a $2,500 bill every single month. That was like, okay, those are your lemons. You got to make lemonade. And I hustled every single one. It taught me a lot because that was kind of the way that I was thrown into the business, like very early on by a mistake. I still have Zillow leads in my business today. And it's not easy for everybody to work them. And I know, look, agents are probably like cringing right now, like, oh gosh, you work with Zillow. But if I told you how many wonderful people I've met and how many families I've been able to help, it has been incredible. And not one of them have I not stayed in touch with in all 10 years. And they have been repeat business. So I am training an agent right now, and I didn't even realize like some of the things that I do with these leads when they come through, and that like how much of a strategy there is. In fact, I mean, it's just, it became natural, I guess, because I've been doing it for so long. But my admin actually listened to every call I've ever done and made notes and wrote down like how I handle certain conversations, and then taught agents in the field how to, you know, convert these leads. Because if you think about it, they're calling, they want one thing, is to go see a property, and then you have to convert them. And then you have to convert them to go like see other properties or write a contract or want to use you, which became even more challenging when we had to get those buyer broker agreements signed, right? So again, that brings you back to creating a relationship, and you have to do it fast. And that's why connecting with someone is so important. I don't care if it's in the first 5 minutes and your shoelaces are both untied, you better find a connection. So gotcha. Anyway.
So give us some nuggets on that. Give us some scripting on that. Like what is the thought look like? You get a Zillow call. What does that look like, and how are you converting? I guess I'm assuming mm-hmm. you have pretty good high conversion rate on these leads, but tell us.
I do.
You don't have to go straight script on us, but give us some nuggets yeah. out of your knowledge and working those leads through all these years.
Well, there's two different types. So one does call and they ask to see a property. They're calling about a specific one. So with those, you know, I'm on the phone with them, and I ask them, okay, so you want to see this property? At first, I get the appointment. So you want to see this property? What works best for you? And you try to do it as soon as possible, because again, I don't know these people. And if you give them 3 days or a week, you're not seeing them. So you do that very quickly, and you try to get it for either that day or the next day. And then I ask, you know, what about this property did you like? Are there any others that you want to see? And we go through that, and they end up starting to tell you more. And if they're real closed off and they don't want to really talk on the phone, then I shut it down. We're just going to the house. If they kind of are opening up about something, well, I'm moving here, I'm just not sure, then that's your way to probe. So you start saying, well, you know, help me out here. Are you living in a house right now, or are you renting? Go from there. And then, well, what's making you want to move? Find out that. And you find out whatever their motivation is, and then you use that. And then if possible, you try to offer some value that you can bring with you on the appointment. So a lot of times these people only want to see one house. So I have taught the agents that I've worked with, have a plan, find out just a few things that they're looking for. If it's area specific, what type of home, do they need a yard? And then you bring those properties, you set them up ahead of time, cancel them if you have to, if they don't want to go see them. But at that house, you say, look, you know, I'm kind of getting a feeling that these these might fit your criteria. Do you want to go see them? I went ahead and set them up just in case. They're like, yeah, let's do it. And then you've added a lot. So that's that type of buyer, the one that calls on the phone. Zillow has this other thing where it's real-time tours. They literally press a button. They don't want to talk to anybody. They just want to press a button and go to a house. And those are actually, sounds harder, but they're actually easier to convert. You just have to do it in person. I don't pick up the phone and call them since they're already a button presser. I press the button back. I send them a text and I try to find out they want to see some other properties. And usually they're like, no. Sometimes they're yes. Can I just send them to you? Yeah, text them over. We meet at the house and then it's conversion time. And that's when you do essentially what I did on the phone, but it's so much easier because they get to see your body language. You see theirs. You're walking through the house. They probably brought a baby with them and you're doing all of those things, or their pet, whatever. So does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that idea. Actually, I think it's like super smart how you've been able to like add value quickly and really dig deep quickly on a Zillow call. And I know some of those things, it happens so quickly. So it's like, you know, you have only just a split second to like kind of add value. It's just kind of a, you know, working leads is tough, but it sounds like you've been able to like have some big success with all of that stuff. So Remy, we're cut from the same cloth. We've got a very similar business model. So I figured we would blow through the almost entire time very quickly, just diving in and grabbing value. But I always on the podcast, I always like to end our pod in the same way. I always like to say, Remy, speak to an agent who may not have had the best 2025. Maybe they squeaked by and they are really looking to you for some sort of encouragement that you can give them so that maybe they can be on a great path for 2026. What would you tell that discouraged agent? And then we'll close it out.
Well, I would say don't be too hard on yourself, especially for this year. I know a lot of agents that have had bad years and or difficult years. And timing is everything in real estate. So I think that you go back to the basics, start making relationships, talking to people, finding out what you're really good at, and focus in on those things only. I think when agents start freaking out and saying this is a bad year, then they start trying all these new things like, oh, maybe I should be doing this or maybe I should do that. And it's really simple. I mean, it's our business is built on relationships, period. That's it. And so if you have relationships, which almost everyone does, you go to those and you talk and you start adding value. And it doesn't matter if it's to your family, your friends, your boss, your colleagues, the Benny's car washer, you add some sort of value and have a conversation. And I'm not like everybody. I'm not, let me get in and do this script and seal the deal right there. I literally want to know who they are. And I think business comes your way. All they do, once you've asked enough about them, they'll say, well, what do you do? I'm a realtor. Oh my gosh. I'm actually thinking about buying a house. It really does come naturally. But I just think not being hard on yourself if you had a bad year. And surround yourself with people who are better than you always. I mean, that's been, I do the same thing. You learn from them. You ask, don't be afraid to ask. And shadow, even partner with somebody like, hey, can I work some of your leads? Can I do your open house? Whatever it is, just ask for the help that you need instead of, you know, hiding behind that ego that a lot of us have that we've got this all on our own. So I'd use all the resources that you have.
Yeah, absolutely love that. And it is the best way to build a business for sure. It is so amazing to build it that way because how good does it feel when you get that call or you get that referral from that client? And it's just so much better to build a business based upon clients and friendships and family and all that thing because it is just so valuable. And it's really the way that we're going to put ourselves in a position to have a business. I don't care what AI comes out. Whatever tools come out, it won't change the relationships that you have, the deep care and concern that you have from an actual person. Like, how do you beat AI? How do you win in this new world that's changing so rapidly? I think you dive back into the relationship. You double down on the relationships. You double down on the friendships. You double down on the way that you're making someone feel that good feeling that you're coming up with, that you're really striving for. So I just love that you're running your business that way. And I love to see your success as a top agent in Baton Rouge running that same exact process. So I really, really appreciate you joining us and sharing some knowledge and some value for us around the South. So Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. I really had fun. Thank you.
All right, girl. Well, guys, I hope that you guys go connect with Remy. We're going to put some of her details of her social media and ways that you can go reach out to her. I hope that you go give her a follow. I hope that you send this episode to an agent right now that is feeling discouraged or maybe needs a little pick-me-up. So I hope that you guys are enjoying what we're putting out every week. And we launch a brand new audio version of this podcast every Monday morning at 5 a.m. on all of your favorite audio listening platforms. So I hope that you guys are enjoying what we're putting down, and I hope that you guys have an amazing day.